Well, some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings. Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It would lead to your giving testimony. Remember that you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. I was pleasantly surprised this morning to come back in the sacristy and find my friend Father Pat Summerhays sitting there. And if he looks familiar to you, it's because once upon a time he was a parishioner here at St. Thomas the Apostle. Once upon a time he was studying for the priesthood for the Diocese of Phoenix. But his parents, you know, he's not from Phoenix. His family lives in San Francisco. So he transferred a number of years ago to the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And he's been a priest, thanks be to God, for 18 months. So, Father Summerhays, welcome back here. Every year around this time, I try to talk to people about the end of the world, and I think it kind of comes across artificial, right? Trying to provoke in you an awareness that things are passing away and that maybe the end is imminent, that we're living in the end times. And the reason we do this is because, of course, the liturgical calendar comes to an end in 2 weeks. New Year's in the liturgical year is not January 1st, but the first Sunday of Advent, which is 2 weeks from today, believe it or not. So now, I am thankful for the temperature or the climate we're in right now, because I think it's a little bit easier for us to think about the passing and the instability of earthly things. I'm referring, of course, to the Cubs winning the World Series. I was hoping that would be a better joke, actually. So last week, I've never thought of myself as a political priest. In fact, quite the opposite. Last week, I gave a homily with some pretty strong political undertones. So I want to restore my status and preach like the anti-political homily this week. And so regardless of how you're feeling right now, whether you're depressed or elated or, you know, conservatively optimistic or begrudgingly hopeful, wherever it is that you fall on the spectrum, I'm speaking to you as Catholics right now. And as Catholics, regardless of what's going on in the political world and the political climate that we live in, we remember that our hope is not in anything in this world. Our hope is not in any sort of political system. Our hope is not in any political leader. Our hope is not in anything temporal. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in the kingdom that will not pass away. And now, maybe more than ever, we need to remind ourselves of that, right? Now, more than ever, we need to remind ourselves not to cling to false hopes, right? Jesus tells us when the times come and scary things are happening and there's wars and insurrections and earthquakes. There's a 7.4 earthquake in New Zealand this morning, by the way. So when you hear about these things and you're scared, don't follow false messiahs. And brothers and sisters, I think that we are as in danger of sort of following false messiahs as any of our American neighbors, right? G.K. Chesterton in 1921 visited the United States, and in 1922 he wrote a book about it. And he said something interesting. He said, America is the only nation in the world that's founded on a creed. And he says, in that sense, America has like a quasi-religious characteristic to it, right? And I think what he means is, you know, he's British, was British, he's been dead for a while. But he, you know, he would say that he's British because he's born in England, right? And there's no particularly British political philosophy or worldview. You're British because you're British, right? And I think, but we have almost this philosophical criteria for what it means to be American. And you can see it even in our political discourse, how we argue with each other, right? If somebody has an idea that we don't agree with, we say, that's an un-American idea, which I think would sound very strange to a European, right? And I think if somebody in England were arguing and say, your ideas are un-English, I think they would say, well, what does that even mean? We talk about, you know, constitutionality as if the Constitution is the sacred scriptures, you know? But notice that our Catholic faith has survived for 2,000 years under every form of government that man has ever conceived. Right? And the Catholic Church has survived under oppression by a Roman Empire. And the Catholic Church has survived under ruling the Roman Empire. And the Catholic Church has survived under French Catholic monarchies, and the Catholic Church has survived under viciously anti-Catholic modern French democracies. And the Catholic Church thrived under the Most Holy Queen of Spain, and the Catholic Church survived, you know, all the things that happened in Spain in the 20th century. Right? The Catholic Church still exists in England despite the apostate kings and queens that followed Henry VIII. Right? The Catholic Church has survived under communist rule and under fascist dictatorship, and the Catholic Church has even survived in democracy, right? And the reason that it survived is because we are rooted not in anything temporal. We're rooted not in anything changing. We're rooted not in anything that any privileges or rights that are afforded to us by the secular sphere. We're not rooted in anything that can be taken away from us. We are rooted in Holy Mother Church and in Jesus Christ. And it's in him that we place our hope. We have argued with each other for months now. Those of us who are maybe more zealous about politics have argued maybe for a year now about what's wrong with this country and how to fix it. But I would put to you that we often miss the point of what's really wrong with this country and how it can really be fixed. And the problems that we face, and there are certainly, wherever you fall in the political spectrum, I'm sure you agree that there are severe problems in our culture, in our civilization. But I would put to you that the root cause of our problems is that we live in a civilization that no longer knows who Jesus Christ is. We live in a post-Christian civilization. Hopefully, you agree with me that we would like to live in a Christian civilization, right? Respect for, you know, the American doctrine of religious plurality aside, hopefully you join me in hoping that someday every American will profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? But if we expect legislation to make our country Christian, then we're ignoring history. Not only that, if we place too much hope in the political situation that we're in, if we place too much hope even in, you know, something like the Constitution or just the whole American experiment, we're being sort of arrogantly blind to history, because every empire that passes, and America too will pass, right? We cannot place our hopes in things that are temporal and things that are broken and things that are going to pass away. If we want to participate in building the kingdom of God, if we want to help America to grow and to become an authentically Christian nation, if we want to bring about real revolution in the world, it's not going to happen through political activity, which, don't get me wrong, I am not against Catholics being active in the public square. We absolutely need it. The bishops have called for it. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, real change is going to come through evangelization, If we want a Christian nation, then we need a nation of Christians. And that only is going to happen when we witness, when we evangelize, when we start with the people around us and we talk to them about Jesus Christ. Right, so let me give you a question for the examination of your conscience. In the last, this is an arbitrary number, but in the last 3 months, how many conversations have you had about politics? Right, now that could be either directly about the campaigns or the candidates, or it could be, social commentary on what's going on in our culture. If you use social media, how many posts have you posted about politics, right? Think about that. Now, in that same amount of time, how many people have you talked to about Jesus Christ? How many people have you witnessed to? Or to borrow sort of a Protestant phraseology, how many people have you given your testimony to? And again, I'm not talking about exhortation or condemnation or finger wagging. I'm talking about how many people have you said, let me tell you about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done in my life. Let me tell you about why I love the Lord. Let me tell you about why I love the church. How many of those conversations have you had? How many of those posts have you posted? And so, this is the most gimmicky thing I've ever said in a homily, but I have a 100-day plan. And what I'd like to ask you to do, and I mean this very literally, please take me literally. In the next few months, I'd like to ask you to do two things. Number one, become more charismatic. And what I mean by that is literally become more rooted in the Holy Spirit. Right? When Jesus talks today about how the persecutions that will come upon the church will lead the disciples to giving testimony, he also tells them, don't worry about what you're going to say, I'll tell you. Right? So if you're sitting here thinking, Father wants me to go out and evangelize, I don't know how to evangelize, that's not my job, I don't know how to talk about my faith. Well, start asking the Holy Spirit to teach you. You can do that, you know. You can ask for a greater outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can ask for the gifts and the charisms that you received at your baptism and that were strengthened at confirmation to be given to you more fully. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to stir those things up. You can say, Lord, put words into my mouth. Teach me what to say. Lord, make me better at hearing your voice or being more attentive to the ways that you're prompting my heart. Lord, give me the gift of obedience to those promptings. Now imagine if you were like a Republican campaigner and you could call up Donald Trump every day and ask for specific instructions on how he wants you to campaign. Well, guess what? Every single day we can talk to the Lord of the universe and say, who do you want me to talk to and what do you want me to say? Okay, so the first step to our evangelizing this culture is to become more charismatic, live in the Spirit, believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you and to give you all those gifts and all those charisms, to make you attentive to his words and to teach you who you are to talk to and what you are to say. The second thing I want to ask of you is in the next couple months, evangelize two people, right? And you don't necessarily need to start with, evangelizing your Muslim coworker. You can start with a friend or family member who's maybe Catholic but not really practicing the faith, right? Start by telling them why you love the church. Start by telling them about the experiences of prayer you've had, right? Start by telling them about the impact that conversion has had on your life, because that dialogue, that witness, that invitation, that's what converts hearts. That's what draws people in, right? And if we have this sort of, forgive the phrase, but grassroots campaign to go out and invite people to come and to meet Jesus or to look at their faith again, or, please come to Mass with me on Sunday, or please return to the Lord's mercy and the sacrament of reconciliation, then we can begin in a real and lasting and meaningful and substantial way to effect change and transform this culture, not in the political sphere, but in the sense of having people who love the Lord and who worship the Lord and who obey the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming when one stone will not stand upon another in Washington, D.C. But thankfully, we are members of the body of Christ. We are members of a church not built by human hands, in which the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against. Thanks be to God, we work for treasures that we store up in heaven and that thieves can't destroy and moths can't eat and looters can't break, right? Barack Obama is not going to save us. Hillary Clinton is not going to save us. Donald Trump is not going to save us. But Jesus Christ will save us, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And the day will come when Jesus Christ will conquer, when Jesus Christ will rule, when Jesus Christ will reign. But if we want to work for that kingdom, we have to work for the conversion of hearts. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.